This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 23rd of February. We've got another fantastic guest to talk to shortly on the show. We've got tweets still coming in and we've got loads of news to share with you. And of course, we've got our usual FSB news roundup. I've had a tweet from Linda Cloak of We Do Social Media, and she says, we're looking forward to being on the Business Bunker Show with Vanilla Web on the 2nd of March. That'll be next week. And we're looking forward to it too. So we'll see you then, Linda, L, and the rest of the We Do Social Media team. Awards. Why don't you celebrate your hard work success? Because awards are great for PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, you can enter free the Maidstone or the Canterbury or the Ashford Business Awards for 2021. There are 12 categories at least in each of the regions. You can self-nominate. It's free to enter. And there will be a combined awards dinner, all things being equal, in November 2021 at the Great Danes Hotel at Hollingbourne. If you want to find out more about these awards, if you go to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. Please look into it. It's a fantastic thing, and I'm really looking forward to actually presenting an awards show for once. It's been over a year since I did the last one, and I miss them dreadfully because they're incredibly good fun. There's a Kent Creative Meetup. It's taking place on this Friday, the 26th of February, 10 a.m. to 11:15. It's a free meetup for artists and creatives in Kent to chat, collaborate, learn and share ideas and get support. It's a simple get-together with like-minded people supporting each other, building a robust community for artists where the support comes from the community itself. It starts at 10 o'clock. Briefly introduce yourself, and then there's a guest who's the artist Joanna Jones, and she's going to be talking about her work to include her superb egg tempura technique. Well, there you go. If you want to find out more or register for your place, go to kentcreative.org/event/kentcreativeonline. That's kentcreative.org/event/kentcreativeonline. Check it out. Friday, the 26th of February, 10 a.m. to 11:15. Okay, Jules and I caught up with John Waddy of the Kentish Soap Company. Here's what John had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Mr. John Waddy of the Kentish Soap Company. John, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello there. Welcome.
It's good to see you. Let's kick off by you telling the listeners a little bit about you and a bit about your business.
Yes, love to. So we are the Kentish Soap Company, and we're based in Sittingbourne, Kent. And we make natural soaps, candles, bath and body products.
Okay.
We started off a few years ago as a kitchen table business, my wife on her own. And about 3 years ago, we had too much work. We were renting storage units. We built workshops at home. My son moved out. We moved into his bedroom as well, and so on. So we decided that we would buy some premises, which is where we're located here in Sittingbourne, which are brand new premises. And I gave up my job, which was in financial services IT, which I worked for 30 years.
Sorry, you worked for? I didn't hear that.
Was it for another company, John?
And 30 years there. My daughter joined us, and my nephew as well.
Right.
And really, that's the core of us as a business.
Okay.
And everything we try to do, we make with as eco-friendly and ethical a basis as possible.
Okay.
Love that.
All of our soaps.
Okay. Interesting journey. When was it that you actually started making the candles on your kitchen table? What year?
You see, I got confused. I thought he meant he started off making kitchen tables.
That's because you weren't listening as normal.
No, because he said my wife started making
kitchen tables. He said he started off on the kitchen table. He didn't say what he was doing on it. Yeah, so there.
I love the natural.
John, I can only apologise for her. I'm really sorry. It's like this every week. I'm really sorry. Anyway, back to my question. When did your wife first start making candles?
That was in 2011.
Right. Okay.
So she started off, she was a preschool teacher at the time, and she kept on getting very dry hands, eczema on her hands.
Right.
It was obviously constant washing. And when she did the research, she found out that it was often the chemicals in
commercial. In the soaps, yeah.
Perfume, sodium lauryl. SLS is a big problem.
Huge.
And she decided to make her own products. They were very popular with her friends and family. She started selling them, so we got them all certified. Mm. Started selling at farmers markets and various places like that around the county. And it just grew from there, really.
Right. It's an interesting... I'm fascinated by this because... Kent,
he loves the candle.
Yeah, no, but Kent is a hotbed of what I call kitchen table startups. Yeah, food, drink, candles, soap, other crafting things. So there's loads and loads of people start doing stuff on their kitchen tables. The interesting thing for most of them is when they get to a point where they need to scale up. Yeah, because you, as you found yourself, you can't keep going on your kitchen table. If you're going to expand, you know, it's okay if it's
even
a
though he threw his son out, you know,
yeah, yeah, exactly,
get
yeah,
room.
Yeah, move, yeah, we got a production unit going in your bedroom, yeah, you're nearly 12, you can go somewhere else, yeah, but
I think the I think every business has a start as a trigger point, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And what it was for us is we the National Trust in Kent, sorry, in Sussex, that region approached us and wanted to sell in there. Sort of wanted us to sell in their stores because they wanted to support local
smashing businesses.
Yeah,
and that was sort of a beginning of a trigger,
right?
And then it just grew from there. So that was, I think, that was a step, and then we realised actually this product could be commercially sold on a bigger scale.
Yeah,
and you know we went through things like changing all of our packaging to make sure they're easier to have in a store rather than they're in boxes now rather than wrapped, for example. So it's been a journey, we try, as I said, every bill of packaging we have is plastic free. There's no plastic at all. So we won't actually, we have products in the pipeline, which we're not releasing because we can't find plastic free alternatives to the packaging.
Right. Okay.
Even silly things like, if you have a glass jar that will either have a hand pump for hand liquid soap, or it may have a plastic seal in the lid.
Yeah,
so it's not plastic free. So we find that quite hard. So to find alternatives for that. So until the point that we're happy with that.
Yeah,
I've been John. I've been sent a beautiful soap from up in Scotland, and it's in a glass jar, and it's kind of like going back to the old-fashioned 1950s. It's on my dressing table, and it just feels lovely to dip into a glass jar. You know, it's very sort of Elizabeth Arden or Elizabeth Taylor even, but it's a really nice way of packaging. Are you able to find any suppliers in Kent to help package?
We don't use any in Kent. We have in the past some of our glass bottles. So we have bath salts in glass bottles and they have a rubber seal rather than a plastic seal in the past. But we work with other Kent businesses. So we sell in various boutique independent stores or some from as grocery stores to refill hubs. So a lot of growing refill hubs in Kent. So there's one in Sevenoaks, one in Tunbridge Wells, one in Tunbridge, one in Raynham. So we sell there. We work with Hever Castle, so we sell in there, for example. So there's attractions as well. There's National Trust Properties.
Sorry to interrupt, John. Do you white label your products for some of these places?
We don't. We have done.
Right.
It's an interesting discussion because we have done and we've white labeled for some quite interesting places.
Right.
We have think are taking the view that we want our brand to be our brand.
Right. Okay.
So that's a decision, and we will at some point I think move to that when we've established the brand.
Yeah.
You know, long enough. But we think our brand is our brand, so we can do it. We've got the facility to do it. We work with we did a recent link up with Shepherd Neame Brewery, so we used their one of their beers in our soap. So even though it's got our labelling on the packaging, it's also got made with Shepherd Neame beer.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
that's quite an interesting sort of working with another yep. business, yep. another Kent business.
And about your candles, John, are you using beeswax? Or because I love a beeswax candle.
Yeah, no, we don't use any beeswax because all our products are super vegan.
You're vegan, okay.
They're all, we use soy wax.
Yeah.
Our soy wax, there's a lot of problems with some of the sources, some of the ingredients, but our soy comes from European Union sources.
Okay.
What that means is that it's grown on existing farmland, so there's no deforestation, which is a problem.
Yeah, because soy can be a real problem, can't it?
In the Far East, in Asia.
Yeah. Because a lot of candles that the public burn are quite toxic, aren't they? And that's that's why I use beeswax ones, because I know that they're not toxic.
There's a couple of things you have to watch. First of all, you need to use a natural wax, and it could be beeswax, and then you need to make sure that you don't use paraffin wicks. There's another part to it which we did. Yeah. So
my last birthday cake candles were toxic. just because there were so many of them.
Yeah,
and the other thing is we use natural essential oils,
right?
Artificial fragrance.
Beautiful.
A lot of commercial candles, and that gives people headaches. Not a lot of people like that, and the smell is stronger when it's artificial, when it's more natural.
Of course, the company Lush. When I literally cannot go into that shop, even at the doorway, if I go,
don't
there,
need to go into it. You can smell it halfway down the high street.
Exactly, but the minute I go there, I can feel like headache, and a lot of people are very similar. And I work with someone who, if I'm with her, I can't wear perfume. At all. She's very, very sensitive. And I think a lot of companies put this parfum, and parfum can be anything, literally anything, can't it?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely, yeah. So you really need to be looking if you want a natural product for natural essential oils. Mm. That's the thing now.
John, shut up. I want to ask him a question. See, I'm waving my hands here and she's ignoring me.
And I had mine up as well, you see. Yeah. Difficult.
I want, before we go past it, what I'm interested in is the growth of your... I'm interested in your products, and we want to discuss those, of course. But I'm also interested in the process and the things you've gone through to get to where you are. Yeah, because that information, that experience is useful to our listeners that are thinking about their own journey in their own business. And my view on it, and I want to hear from you, is that scaling up from a kitchen table to the next level, I think, is a different order of magnitude. So I want to hear what your experiences were. What did you do? How did you get from kitchen table to production?
So first thing was premises, dedicated premises, get it out of your house. Because that's a distraction as well as, and it also sort of establishes your mindset a bit differently, that you've got a place to pay for, whether you're renting or buying, it's a place to pay for. But that gave us some advantages because obviously we could buy the ingredients at bigger scale. So we buy 200 oil drums, size 200 litres of olive oil at a time, which you can't really have.
Yeah.
So that obviously helps with the pricing and the costing and being able to sort of more efficiently provide the product. We made a conscious decision to remain a handmade product.
Yeah. Mm.
A conscious decision. So we haven't got a big machinery producing thousands of bars of soap. We make our soap, for example, in batches of about 48, 50 bars in big molds at a time, and we produce quite a lot a day, but that's what we do. That has to go through a 6-week curing process, actually, so we stick them on racks. So we need the room to be able to cure the soap. Having the premises is the first thing. Obviously, employing people. Now, there's only four of us, and we employ people from time to time to help out at various things that we do times of the year. But largely, so you need a payroll system, or you need a facility to do that. So we are members of the Federation of Small Businesses, as well as local Chamber of Commerce. But we can get good deals on payroll, the cost of payroll. Yeah. So you need to move into a mindset of, even though they're family members, they're employees.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that aspect, pensions.
Absolutely. Workplace pension and all the regulations that go with it that make life as a small business incredibly...
One employee you're up or 50, it makes no difference, really.
Exactly.
So how has, John, the current situation with COVID affected the four of you packing together?
So we have only three of us come from one household, which is good. And generally, my nephew hasn't really been in. So he's been away, did a bit of studying during the time. So he's not been in at all.
Right.
The three of us are in one household, which is easy, secure point of view. What we used to do is we used to sell a lot of events around the country. So, for example, country living shows, flower shows, that sort of thing. That's gone completely, obviously, last year. There was an event we did manage to do at Christmas time, just before the last lockdown at Hampton Hall. But so we've had to look at other ways of selling. So that was about a third to 40% of our income prior to that. You can say it's good fortune or good business planning. The prior year, we revamped our website and outsourced our social media. So people think outsourcing, big problem for a small business, how healthy the outsource. But so our website maintenance is done through a standard platform that you can get, but is managed by a third party, which is basically... a small business themselves that do that, along with our social media. So we don't have to worry. So outsourcing's great. So you outsource your HR, your payroll, all fairly cheaply. Your accounting, obviously, is a big thing. Social media and website management. Don't worry about it. We have a conversation every two or three months, give general direction of things and the post.
And are you selling through your website? You're selling online?
Yes. And that last year really helped with us as well. It more than replaced, or certainly replaced, the lost revenue on events.
And I'm assuming that you have quite a shortish shelf life on your products because they're so natural. So how did that affect with...
The shelf life is about a year.
Because I've got an awful lot of products in my... I use a lot of natural products and I've got a lot that are going to go off, you know.
But she nicked them from various places, so John said, and she done
I'm not wearing makeup at the moment to go out. So I've got all these, you know, very posh Bare Minerals stuff, and they do have a short shelf life if they're natural often, you know.
The products we have generally about a year. Sometimes if you leave the soap out of the box, the fragrance might reduce.
Yeah. Change. Yeah.
But the actual product itself is
usable still.
So. Okay to use.
And of course, with this constant hand washing that we're all doing, do you do a liquid soap or do you do bar soaps?
So we do bars of soap, but we also do hand creams and body butters. A hand cream is a solid hand cream bar. Comes in a tin. And you just basically take it out of the tin, rub it between your hands, put it back in the tin. A couple of good points about that. First of all, it obviously helps preserve the life of the cream. You're not taking too much. Second thing, it's good for traveling. So not in the last year, but if you have it in your car, you can just take it around. It's not a cream. It's not a liquid. But we also do refills of those. So once you've got the aluminium tin that the thing comes in, we sell a refill online as well. So you don't need the tin again, a bit cheaper and obviously less packaging. So we do those body butters as well. So we certainly have seen an uptick in our solid hand cream sales last year. Line with soap, I would say. And soap lasts such a long time.
Yeah.
So provided you keep it dry between usage. Liquid soap you use so much of.
I ditched all our liquid soaps and went back to hand soaps about 3 or 4 years ago because they're just much more eco-friendly. Plastic.
Yeah. I mean, you can do things. I think the key is to keep it dry between the uses. You can get those, you can get soap dishes, but you can also get what we have at home, sort of metal things you screw on the wall, and it's got almost like a bottle top in it, so it's magnetic.
Yeah. Mm.
That in the soap and keep it dry by the basin.
He's a soap aficionado, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. John, we're kind of approaching the end of the interview and running out of time. Well, do you have plan? I mean, I know it's hard to plan for anything at the moment with the pandemic and lockdown and all the other nonsense that's going on. But do you have any longer term plans for where you see the business going?
Yeah, I think we have a two for the more immediate future. The first is definitely more products. We've got more products in the pipeline that we want to introduce. So definitely that, and we put those on hold a bit, but and we launched a couple last year, but we've got certainly two more in the pipeline now. The second thing is that we sell to, as we were talking earlier, we sell to other shops and other businesses as a wholesale arrangement. Virtually every single one of those wholesalers has come, those businesses have come to us. So we've not actively gone out and done.
Okay, right.
So you know, either through trade groups or just networking groups or just generally out and about. So I think that we do want to, and we got our 40th sort of customer the other day. So I think that's something that we'd want to focus on going forward.
Okay. And presumably most of these are in the southeast of England, or are you on a wider scale than that?
Most are, but a growing number elsewhere. So we have them in Scotland, we have them in Norfolk, we have them you know, throughout the country. But historically, they've come from Kent and Surrey, but not so much anymore. And I think the focus on the eco part, the eco-friendly part of the business, the refill stores that are growing, and you know, and there's been a growing number of those which throughout the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you see a point in the future where you might export?
Absolutely.
Right.
That was a little bit of a hobby plan for mine for this year.
Right.
It won't happen this year. I've actually worked a lot around the world in another guise. So I know the Middle East quite well, and I know Australia and New Zealand very well, and whatever. So I've lived in those parts of the world. So I think there are absolutely, in India as well, you know, there's markets where niche British brands go down very well.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I use soap nuts, John, from India, for laundry, soap nuts, from the soap nut tree.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you would sell out there when they're, you know, I think
that's John's point, though, isn't it? It's a market that likes British brands.
Yeah. Well, so does the UAE. They love marmalade.
Yeah, that's the Middle East.
Sort of thing.
And even Australia and New Zealand as well. It's strange, you know, the historically, particularly in Australia, there's been quite a strong personal wealth. You know, there's been a growing economy for many, many years. So
what about shea? Are you using shea butter?
Yeah, we use shea butter. Yeah. So we try to.
It's a good one. I use that.
Even though our ingredients come from overseas in different parts of the world, we try and source them as ethically as we can. So a shea butter used in Ghana, by a women's cooperative. Supporting women locally, where the money directly goes to the family, the women and the family, for their families, rather than going to a business.
Fabulous.
So, you know, you can't be perfect on everything, but, you know, we try where we can.
Absolutely. Look, John, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Another Kent success story as a business, and all power to you, and we wish you continued success. If people want to find out more about the Kentish Soap Company, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so our website is kentishsoap.com. We're also on social media, Kentish Soap, under Facebook and Instagram.
What's your Twitter? Because I can't find you on Twitter.
Oh, they are on Twitter.
I'm just looking, and it produced in Kent, it's saying the Kentish Soaps Company's hints and tips, and that was 5 days ago, about your best candle here. But they haven't put your Twitter handle on there. So,
Tell them. To be honest, Instagram and Facebook are our most used sources. Because you can.
You're going to get a big hit on Twitter.
Radio show. We can always refer them to.
Yeah.
I can't find you on Twitter, so you have to.
I've got your
follow
Twitter
us.
Account.
It's Kentish underscore soap.
Okay, because there's lots of people talking about you, but they're not putting your Twitter in.
Yeah,
you're being talked about on Twitter anyway. That's good.
John, thank you so much for that. Keep on keeping on, and much success. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Brilliant. Thank you
very much indeed. Thank you.
Great.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was John Woody of the Kentish Soap Company. Fantastic story about their move from a kitchen table enterprise into a full-scale enterprise and some of the things they're doing. Very inspiring and great to hear from John about the things that they're doing. Okay, we've still got loads of things to cover. We've got tweets coming in still. AK Pet Services are listening in. Adrian Kearney, welcome, Adrian. Adrian runs a pet ambulance taxi service based in Medway to get your pets to the vets or to other things that they need to do. So do give him a follow, AK Pet Services, on the Twitter. We've got some other stuff to talk about as well. I did mention this last week, but I want to mention it again. The Pentagon Shopping Centre in Chatham have started a campaign, Help Us Save Our Local Shops and Community. Can you spare 30 seconds? Follow the link, which I will give you in a moment. Insert your postcode and together we can send a message to your local MP to have business rates changed before our shops close and many more local jobs are gone forever. Business rates are completely out of control now. They really do need a shockingly massive overhaul, and we need to put the pressure on the government to do that. They've been talking about it for so long, and the last time they looked at it, they actually put them up, which was ridiculous. So if you go to savelocalshops.eaction.online/savelocalshops, you can support the Pentagon's campaign to do something about business rates. Let me give you that link again, savelocalshops.eaction.online/savelocalshops. And you can follow the Pentagon Centre on Twitter, at Pentagon Centre. So do give them a follow. I had this really interesting email from the Maidstone Business Terrace. A Maidstone businessman has defied the challenges of lockdown to go from a solo entrepreneur to moving into his first office and having recruited his fifth team member in just 2 months after taking the office on Maidstone Borough Council's Business Terrace. Maidstone Borough Council operate the Business Terrace, which is shared office space, help desk, hot desk, and that kind of community space. Since moving to the terrace, Matthew Dorrington, who's the MD of Simple Advertising, says not only has his headcount grown, but client numbers have tripled during the latest COVID restrictions. What's more, he recently made the leap from sole trader to incorporated company. The catalyst for the business growth, he says, was when after 5 years spent ticking over while working alone from home, coffee shops or hot desking, he decided to take the plunge and rent an office in Maidstone's Business Terrace in December 2020. And doesn't that gel with what John was just saying from the Kentish Soap Company? The thing that really made their company go to the next level was actually going into premises. So, borne out by that is Matthew's experience as well. So they moved in December 2020, and within the same month, he recruited his first employee, and then two more hires quickly followed after that. Simple Advertising's rapid expansion also meant a move to a bigger office in the building a mere few weeks after first taking up residence, although currently based there alone while his employees work from home during the restrictions. Matthew looks forward to welcoming him back when the lockdown ends. He puts his digital marketing agency's success down to a combination of adapting his services and taking on an office at a co-working space. He explained how the Business Terrace helped to give him not only the physical but also the mental room to grow and flourish. Moving from home working to the terrace has made such a big difference. Being here, I can focus without distraction, but I also feel there's support available if I need it, even if it's just someone to bounce ideas off over a coffee. Taking on my first employee was a big step, so it's amazing to think that we're about to become a team of five. If this is how far we've come in just 2 months, I can't wait to see where we'll be by the end of the year. The Business Terrace is Maidstone Borough Council's growth accelerator, providing a new generation of flexible workspace to help businesses start growing five. To find out more about Matthew's company, Simple Advertising, go to their website, which is www.simpleadvertising.co.uk. To find out about Maidstone Business Terrace, it's www.businessinmaidstone.co.uk. What a fantastic story of growth and business development and scale-up in the middle of a pandemic. And you can't get more dynamic than that, I don't think. So congratulations to Matthew and the team at Simple Advertising. And we wish you continued success. The Construction Southeast Awards 2021. How would you like to have an award-winning title next to the name of your construction business? We want to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations around the Southeast. So application is quick, easy and free. And you can find out by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/business events. And you can find out all the details of the Construction Southeast Business Awards there. Kenwood Trust, which is a residential home for people with addiction issues, and is at Yalding, just outside Maidstone. They're looking for donations of seeds which they can plant in their therapeutic garden. They're specifically looking for herbs, lavender and vegetables, but not beans, they say. No beans, no. If you can help, please get in touch with us. You can email Katie Darvell, that's Katie, K-A-T-I-E dot Darvell, D-A-R-V-E-L-L, at kenwoodtrust.org.uk. Or you can call them on Maidstone 01622 814 187. So if you've got seeds, herbs, lavender, vegetables, other than beans, they'd like to hear from you, please. And they will be planted in their therapeutic gardens, which are lovely. And hopefully, come sometime in spring, when we're able to open again, you'll be able to visit those gardens and also visit the Llama Walk and all the other attractions that they have at Kenwood Trust at Yalding there. Book now for the Marsh Network Online. The next meeting of the Marsh Network Online is at 10:30 on the 3rd of March, and it will take place on Zoom. Bookings are going well. Make sure of your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh. Anyone attending the meeting for the first time can come free. So bring a contact with you or mention the meeting to your network. This will help to grow it faster. If you want to arrange that, just email Terry, and his email address is terry@botfield.net. That's B-O-T-F-I-E-L-D, terry@botfield.net. Join organisations from across Kent and East Sussex for relaxed professional networking. Grow your business and your network. And Terry says he'll see you at the next meeting. You can follow Terry on the Twitter at one of my favourites, Twitter handles, TD Botty. Give Terry a follow, TD Botty. I've got an email here from the lovely Andrea Barker, who's a confidence coach, and she's going to share some tips here with us to help lift our mood. So pin your luggles back and listen to this. Many of us have felt the impact on our mental health and well-being over the last year. If you have been feeling stressed, low, anxious or lonely, please know you're not on your own. Along with the signs of spring come hope for life returning to some form of normality. There are many little things that you can do to help lift your mood. Get moving, go for a walk, take in nature around you, notice the colours, the sound of the birds, the sky, and feel the sun or breeze on your face. If you can, meet a friend for a walk. Staying connected is important. You can turn up the music, find some uplifting tunes, maybe ones that give you great memories, then dance and sing. Music has an amazing effect on our mood, and children love getting involved too. Why not play musical statues with them for some fun, or get them to express how they feel using the music? Melancholic music is good for you too, because it can match the way we feel and help us feel understood without having to try and voice how we feel. Using colour is another great way to boost your mood or calm you. Wear bright colours to lift your mood, even if it's just a colourful scarf. Blues and soothing greens can help calm us. Focus on the colours in the nature around you, or sit quietly, take some slow breaths and imagine yourself in a beautiful place. Like being on the beach, a blue sky, sea lapping on the shore and an endless horizon. Maybe you have your feet in the sea or are relaxing in a hammock with the sun on your face. Look at photographs of happy times or places you would like to visit and imagine yourself there. Loads more advice from Andrea on how to lift our mood. All of it great stuff. You can find out more of her advice and find out all the things that she talks about by going to her website, which is www.andreabarker.co.uk. So do check that out. Have a look. Have a look at her tips on how to lift your mood and help yourself to feel better while we're kind of still locked away and kept apart via lockdown. Okay, got a couple of more things to share with you, and then we got the FSB news roundup. Mid Kent College, our next open online event is going live on Wednesday the 10th of March. Registration is now open. There'll be a question and answer session, and there's a webinar catch up. There'll be live chat sessions for your questions, application support, support on student finance and learning support, and they say we're looking forward to virtually meeting you. So if you or someone you know is thinking of going to college and you want to look at Mid Kent College, they've got an online event where they will help you go through all the things you need to know about, and it's taking place on Wednesday the 10th of March. And the easiest thing to do is follow them on Twitter at Mid Kent College, or go to their website, which is www.midkent.ac.uk/open days. www.midkent.ac.uk/open days to find out about that. I think it's time that we went to the FSB News Roundup.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
First of all, we'd like to offer our congratulations to Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's been recognised as an FSB volunteer champion for her work on volunteering in policy. Many congratulations, Gemma. Thoroughly deserved and a fantastic accolade. That's Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, who is now a volunteer champion of the FSB. Well done, Gemma. If you're interested in government contracts as a small business, you can learn how to go about getting a contract in a webinar that's taking place on Wednesday the 24th of February. That's tomorrow, manana, from noon to 1 p.m. Want to know more about obtaining public sector contracts? Join Tim Ward, who's a director of Opportuni, for a clear breakdown of what is involved. Leave this webinar with the new knowledge of how your company can bid for all kinds of public sector contracts and thrive in these unpredictable times. I'm going to read out a number of events that are taking place, and then at the end of that I will give you the link to find out how to find out more about all of them and how to book your place. There's the International Women's Day celebration that will be taking place on Thursday the 18th of March, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Celebrate International Women's Day with us and keynote speakers as we seek to understand how COVID-19 has impacted specifically on female entrepreneurs. Hear about the steps they've taken to steer their firms through challenging business restrictions and unexpected personal challenges. There's the FSB Kent Membership Matters event taking place tomorrow, Wednesday the 24th of February, 11 a.m. till noon. Find out what FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can, as well as networking with other small businesses. That's an event not to be missed, Wednesday the 24th of February, 11 a.m. There's a Kent Women in Business brunch this Thursday, the 25th of February. That's taking place from 9.30 to 10.30 a.m. Join us for virtual networking hosted by the FSB Folkestone area host, Wendy Flanagan of the Holistic Home. As I said earlier, I'll give you all the links to find out more about these events and to book your place in a moment. There's FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking, which is with Peter Searle on Wednesday the 24th of March. That's a little way off yet, but let's start talking about it now. 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Peter Searle is hosting this FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. Isla Butler, bid manager for One Maidstone, will be providing an update on the work of the Town Centre's Business Improvement District. These Maidstone events are relaxing networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. Okay, let's see what else we've got. Okay, all of those events can be found and booked by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. At kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. All the events I've just mentioned can be found there. There's details about them and there's links to book your place. Small business finance, what are your options? Do you find finance jargon confusing? Don't worry, you're not alone. Our blog outlines the pros and cons of several popular funding options. If you're short on time, you can download a complete step-by-step guide to finding the right finance for your business. It's packed with tips and free advice from our experts at FSB Funding Programme. And again, you can find that by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and clicking on the FSB tab, and you'll find the funding option there. You're not alone. Looking after our mental health and well-being is important. You can download a free guide and visit the FSB Care Hub. The link for that, so there's basically a hub which gives you loads of advice, support and guidance on looking after your well-being, and there's also a free downloadable guide. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB Care, that's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB Care. Oh, here we go. And also the FSB Legal Hub. This enables you to browse over 1,100 documents, fact sheets and templates covering a host of categories, all available 24/7. It covers HR, debt recovery, health and safety, cyber security and so much more. There's also a wealth of helpful resources and documents related to COVID-19. To access the hub, simply log into fsb.org.uk and click through from the dashboard to the legal hub. You can also find out in the same place how to stay compliant with workplace pensions. As an employer, it's your responsibility to ensure a compliant workplace pension is in place for all eligible employees. Even if you only employ one person, you're still responsible for making sure that they have a pension scheme set up and that you carry out your duties. Failure to do so can result in fines, so it pays to stay up to date. Be proactive about your pensions with our top tips on compliance. To find out all about that, go to fsb.org.uk/resources page, how to stay compliant. That's fsb.org.uk, resources page, how to stay compliant. And the easy way to do all of this stuff is to download the FSB app, which you can now do. With the new FSB app, we're on your side wherever you are. Manage your membership on your mobile, access your benefits and find out what's happening near you. It's never been easier to make the most of the FSB. Simply click on the App Store button if you're an iPhone user, or the Google Play Store button if you're an Android phone user, and download the FSB app now. When you've got the app, you can find all the things we've talked about, plus you can find out what events are going on in your area and you can book your attendance at those events. So it makes life incredibly simple. Download the app, find out what it's all about and go from there. So that's the FSB news for this week. I've got lots of other things to tell you about, not a lot of time to tell you. We've still got tweets coming in as well. AK Pet Services saying it's good to listen in. Well, thank you, Adrian. I'm glad you could join us. That's really cool that you're still there listening to us. Cinnamon Social Media congratulating, and Booker Wire, Catherine Overton, both congratulating Gemma on her well-deserved recognition for her FSB Voluntary Awards. So loads of things happening still, so do keep your tweets coming in for the last few minutes of the show. I've got some other things to tell you about. McIntyre Hudson, the accountants, the long-anticipated extension of the new IR35 rules into the private sector will start on the 6th of April 2021. These major employment tax changes will affect any medium or large-sized business who engage individuals via personal service companies. These end clients will have to have significant new obligations to assess the employment tax status of service companies, PSC contractors, who work for them and to operate PAYE, National Insurance, accordingly. Experience suggests that businesses in the private sector will need all the time available to them to prepare for the changes, given the potential challenges around labour supply issues, business continuity issues, liabilities to PAYE, NIC, plus interest and penalties. Please join our McIntyre Hudson IR35 specialists on the 25th of February, that's Thursday, isn't it, to hear how the new rules will work, how they will affect your business, and consider what you should be doing now to ensure that your business is compliant from the 6th of April. To find out about that and to register your place, if you go to mcintyrehudson.co.uk/events. Do you keep experiencing the same problems over and over again? Orchard Employment Law is able to put together an easy-to-follow, legally compliant HR policy and process package. It will cover such things as recruitment, onboarding, COVID-19 systems and close contact, and disciplinary procedures. If you'd like to find out more, visit their website, which is orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk. The Slough Fort Preservation Trust has received a grant to plant a community orchard. Kent Community Foundation has awarded the Rochester-based project over £2,000 to create a sustainable community orchard within the 19th century artillery fort. The Slough Fort Preservation Trust applied to the Kent Community Foundation for financial support for a project to create a community orchard in an unused corner of the fort. The new orchard will provide a sustainable supply of hard fruit for local shops, care homes and local people, while bringing new volunteering opportunities and creating habitats for bees and other pollinating insects, as well as new hedgerows to support wildlife. Josephine McCartney, the chief executive of the Kent Community Foundation, said the foundation is very pleased to support the Slough Fort Preservation Trust project with a grant of £2,289 to create an orchard within the fort. We love their proposed project as it will not only create a valuable source of fresh fruit for the community, but restore a previously lost environment and habitat to encourage the return of birds and bees. Keith Golvin, who's the Slough Fort Preservation Trust, said everyone has been very supportive of this project. Community service has now cleared scrub and rubbish from the site. Volunteers from All Hallows and the surrounding villages have planted the fruit trees. There's a protective hedgerow and put in place stakes and rabbit guards. Our volunteers will also carry out the ongoing maintenance of the orchard. Gotham's, a local fruit farmer based in Hoo, donated the first 20 fruit trees, which are now established. We're hoping for a limited harvest this year with a full crop in 2022. This is an exciting project which will provide fresh fruit for the local community, and we're very grateful for the support from Kent Community Foundation to help make this happen. If you want to find out more about funding options from the Kent Community Foundation, go to their website, which is kentcf.org.uk/apply. That's kentcf.org.uk/apply. Proposals are now being made to redevelop the former Kings North Power Station site. 3 years after it was demolished, energy company Uniper is looking to build a mixed-use development on the land and says more than 2,000 jobs will be created. Under its proposal for the 279 acres on the Hugh Peninsula are commercial, manufacturing and industrial buildings. There will be a potential for storage, distribution and data centres. And that can create jobs locally, the better. And they can be big things as well as small things. So plans have been revealed for a cycling cafe, which hopes to attract businesses and visitors to a village. The hub would be set up alongside the River Stour on the former Pointers Coaches Depot in Wye, which is already owned by one of the venture's co-founders. Offering up the land is Jess Smith and fellow cycling enthusiasts Matt Hayday and Keith Owen, who believe it's the perfect spot for a stop. They're going to be using old shipping containers as a structure. The Wye and Boughton Alloth residents hope small startups will be able to set up shop in additional containers alongside the main cafe. So that's an interesting startup in Wye, looking at a cycling cafe. What a fantastic scheme. And a total 100 jobs are to be created in the expansion of the Dover Port Health Authority service. Dover District Council is doing this to meet the need for increased imported food safety controls at the border. It's being done in the wake of Brexit, with new checks coming in this summer. It will also offer new job hopes as the pandemic causes rising unemployment. The first phase of recruitment for 60 places has begun, with posts ranging from port health and technical officers to operational managers, team leaders and admin staff. So, and I've got a couple of other things happening, so why don't we go with those as well? Finish off the show with some good news about job creation and new businesses. Fast-growing food safety testing firm Curtis Analytics has relocated to Discovery Park. Discovery Park is at Sandwich on the old Pfizer site, the life sciences opportunity zone for ambitious and growing life sciences companies, taking advantage of its grow-on space and high-specification facilities. Entrepreneurial scientist Dr. Tanya Curtis plans further expansion and new business ideas. The company is a leader in the automated detection of asparagine, a precursor of the potentially carcinogenic chemical acrylamide. Acrylamide. Boy, blimey, I can't say that. In foods. Curtis Analytics, four staff occupy 1,400 square feet of a laboratory and office space, with additional staff expected to be taken on in due course. Of course, there's the big one that's being touted, set to be unique and groundbreaking, world-class destination, the London Resort. One of the most ambitious projects in Europe has been submitting its planning application submission to the government. If successful, it's securing development consent. Construction on the London Resort will begin in 2022, with a plan to open in 2024. The London Resort's detailed planning application confirms the scale and ambition of the team behind a world-class, sustainable, next-generation entertainment resort. The plans are to develop two theme park gates, a water park, a conference and convention centre, and an e-sport facility. More than 3,500 hotel rooms will be created. In addition, two ferry terminals, one each side of the River Thames, will be built, along with the back-of-house facilities, a visitor centre, and a new road in from the A2. The vast majority of the materials required to construct the resort will be delivered by river. The London Resort will be a world-leading resort and theme park destination, and as such will mark a step change in leisure and entertainment provision in the UK. London Resort will be one of the world's largest immersive experience centres in the world, and they expect the first theme park gate will be open in 2024 and the second within 5 years by 2029. So let's hope that goes through and it creates a fantastic environment for people to visit, enjoy leisure, and of course to create much needed jobs in the county. I think we've covered everything. If you tweeted me and I didn't read it out, I'm really sorry. I probably missed it. I will try and catch up with it and tweet it in future. If you do tweet me, do tweet with the hashtag BeBunker, because it makes it easier to find. But that's it for another week. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with another Business Bunker show next week. Stay safe, everybody. See you soon.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.